Wraith, rock trolls, shape-shifting weir, sorcerer, dark fae, these are the fantastical creatures of To Curse the Weir, concluding novella whose ideas were born during the writing challenge. In this episode of The Write Focus, we have the finishing results of that April writing challenge. While our podcast is for writers at all levels, today we're especially for writers and readers of fantasy. We had the first chapter excerpt of the third novella that developed from the April writing challenge, which led to this April's podcast challenge. In the last episode, we talked about cliffhangers, so essential when you're writing three tied together novellas. The most important thing for this third novella was to avoid a repetition of the same obstacles in the first two books, to wield the wind and to charm the wind. Each of the three novellas has a different primary conflict, different obstacles, different situations, and different settings. We have the same dual protagonist with the same overarching goal and antagonist. The differences, however, will keep the readers interested. Avoiding repetition helps the writer stay interested as well. Writing the same thing over and again may be easy and comfortable, but it's not a great idea. Robert Frost says, "No surprise for the writer, no surprise for the reader." And we're our own first reader. Herewith, I give you To Curse the Weir. First, we have a book description. On a mission for the Wizard Enclave, Auriel entered the Wilding. There she encountered sprites, wraiths, gobbers, and dark fae known as Kyrgi. Then she confronted her enemies, a sorceress and a lair of weir from Frostclime. Although the Rogieri admitted her to their haven at Icecliff, they remained wary of Auriel until she battled wraiths and fought a rogue infected by the sorceress. Her bargain with the Kyrgi requires her to ride three hunts. The first decimated the knights and dames who rode with Lady Bone. That lady, though, still demands that Auriel complete her hunts, and she will. Only the Kyrgi ruler, Lord Skull, now leads the hunt for the sorceress and her shape-shifting weir. Chapter 1. The midnight black horses thundered along the forest row. To Auriel's eye, they moved slowly, muscles bunching and stretching gently, manes drifting in the cold night air, their speed a deceptive glide over the ground. Yet moon-silvered trees passed in a blur. The road sped by beneath the enchanted horses' hoofs. The lady's moon rose quickly in the velvet dark sky. She rode on Skull's left. Mounted on his snow-white steed, the knight Sangreor rode to the Kyrgi lord's right, the place of honor. Ever wary, Grim followed. Lord Skull's knights and dames came after. A russet hart with a weighty rack of antlers leapt across the road. As it fled into the trees, Lord Skull reined in his horse. He flung up a hand to stop the following riders. Then he stared into the trees, tracking the hart's long run until it vanished in the deep forest. Magnificent! Worthy of a hunt, Sangreor commented. Not this hunt. We seek foul sorcery. Not wizard. You ride well. Auriel patted her night-black mount. They had ridden for miles, but the horse wasn't blown. Thank you, my lord, but I prefer the name Soulskin. The Kyrgi lord chuckled, which Lady Bone would never have done. Not wizard is what you are. Soulskin is when you are. He fixed her with his black-on-black eyes. His horse stood calm, while hers shifted, as if the lord's gaze burdened it. I do not know who you are. I am not certain you know yourself. I am no more and no less than Auriel of Galfron's clan of the Enclave, a knot wizard named A.Y. Soulskin by a Kyrgi knight. Sangreor smiled at her use of the name he'd given her. That smile revealed his recently sharpened teeth in that marble-white skin. A statue who lived and acted and reacted. She shifted in her saddle to look behind, meeting Grimm's cautious gaze. I am also more than friend, she added, to Grim Holtzen, a Rogieri. More than friend, Lord Skull glanced at the row. When he again faced forward, the rising moon glinted on his face grove for armor. Grim Holtzen is only more than a friend. You have not shared your true names? We look forward to becoming more, Grim sounded firm, and he returned her smile. We have had little time, my lord. Weir and gobbers. And race, she added. Kyrgi no, was Lord Skull's only comment. Come, we ride on. Weir and sorcery are at the end of our hunt. Yet he didn't set the thundering pace of before. Oriel dared not ask questions. Lady Bone could be capricious. Both the lady and her brother were dangerous dark fae. She hadn't found the limits of their tolerance, and she didn't wish to. At this cantering pace, she glimpsed more than passing trees. A twinkling nest of sprites flickered in the distant forest. With wizard's eye, she spotted mundane creatures scurrying away from the road, fleeing the hunt's passage. Dark bulks with silver glints and the occasional flash of red eyes helped her see them as they dove into tangled undergrowth or they scurried up tree trunks. The little animals were safe, too small to tempt the riders into pursuit. After they crossed a ridge, Lord Skull slowed the ride, walking the horses down. A knight rode forward, jostling Sangri Orr to the road's verge. Skull didn't acknowledge him. The knight took the lead. He paused at a distant bend of the road and drew his sword. The dark steel winked in the silvery light of the lady's moon. When the hut reached the bend, Oriel heard rushing water, but the trees blocked any view of the river. She didn't know if the shore they neared was where they had battled the Weir and the sorceress. Was it where she and Grimm alone had defeated Weir? Or was it yet another rushing stream that emptied into the main tributary that poured into the lowlands? The knight waited by a dense tangle of withy undergrowth that spilled down the steep climbing mountainside. Farther along, the road descended between banks of trees, an old wagon trace. The knight pointed to the tangle with his sword. Here! The entrance is here! Lord Skull rode closer, and Oriel remained at his side. Sangrior came as well and drew his sword, the still glinting ice blue. He was Lady Bone's knight, lent to her brother while the consort knight Volk and Sir Christoffen remained at the lady's side, not on this ride. Grimm drew up on her left. His sword was drawn, ready, fey bright where the rider's weapons were dark steel. Hands crossed on his saddle pommel, Lord Skull waited. The lead knight dismounted. He threw his reins to Sangrior. Sword leading the way, he ducked into the writhe of woodbine and disappeared into the thicket against the mountainside. "What is it?" she asked Sangrior. "Old Lair." Lord Skull thought the Weir would have returned to it. "Did they not camp on the shore?" "This lair is older, from years ago." Grimm inhaled sharply. "Aye, I thought I recognized it. 3 years old." "The Weir who attacked the haven before you left for the citadel?" "Aye. Nothing should be here except bones, the bones of the last Weir we killed." "Unless the other Weir did use it for shelter." "How would they find it?" Grimm countered the Kyrgy knight. "None survived. Any scent is old, weathered to nothing." Oriel didn't care about their argument. Would the Weir with the sorceress have created a lair or found a cave for shelter, or did they just camp on the shore? "They left their dead on the shore," Sangrior said with a dogmatic assurance. "They left their dead for gobbers and scavengers to feed on." "Lady Bone's knights and dames, those who were killed, were they also left on the shore?" "The ladies scattered their ashes, giving them back to the sun at its zenith." How did Sangrior know that? He'd been with her in the haven throughout the day. Did he have some connection to the lady, so that he knew what she wanted him to know? Oriel remembered that blinding transition from place to place, which shifted her and Sangrior from the glade where the lady had healed Volk and to the haven. They had also shifted back to another glade, where they'd met her and Lord Skull and begun this ride. The fight against the sorceress and her Weir had decimated Lady Bone's riders, although Sangrior showed no grief for his fellow knights and dames. Only the two consort knights and one other had survived, Volk gravely wounded. If he had not been wounded, would the lady have continued the fight? When Volk had staggered under the attack of two-shifted Weir, the lady gathered him and her two remaining knights, the betraying Sarquista and Oriel, then they fled, transitioning from the shore to that starlit meadow surrounded by old-growth trees. From there, Sangrior returned with her to the haven. Then he fought at her side against Rays and a fire mentor allied to the sorceress. "Since he remained with me, how does Sangrior know what Lady Bone did with the dead riders? How does he know the sorceress abandoned her dead Weir and the three mundane swordsmen?" Skull's knight reappeared, his sword advancing first through the tangle. He bowed. "No one, my lord. Cold fire. Days old. No taint of sorcery. Used, though." Skull leaned over his pommel. "The weir did choose to return here. Where have they gone?" He contemplated the forest surrounding them. Ahead, where the land steeply rose on both sides of the forest road, and the tangle of undergrowth that grew round the old-growth trees. His eyes narrowed as he tracked deeper into the forest. What does he see with his fey eyes? Wizard sight painted the nocturnal world in silver of varying hues, from ghostly pale rocks to the black trunks of virgin trees, glimmering creatures that cowered in the undergrowth, and charcoal masses of bushes heaped over with woodbine. Oriel saw nothing more than what any mundane would see in sunlight. Did Kirji eyes see the lingering traces of life essence? Did Skull distinguish mundane from magical, wizardry from sorcery, power from weirded? He saw something, for he spurred his horse forward on the road. Sangreor followed him. Oriel wanted to drop back with Grimm. The Kirji lord drew his horse up short. It snorted and tossed its head, the white mane lifting, then falling over the black hide. "Stay with me, Solskin." Pleased that he used her preferred name, she urged her horse to his shield side. She prayed Skull did not think she was his shield against the sorceress. The road descended between the rising land. It worked through a cleft that funneled them two abreast. Oriel dropped back, as did Sangreor. The Kirji's knight took shield side to his lord. Like an old wagon trace, beat down by the passage of heavy cargo, the road descended, 1 foot, 3 feet, 5 feet, the height of the horses and their riders and more. The trees towered on both sides, joining their branches to block out the crone moon. The passage squeezed tighter and muddied from a seeping spring. Ice rimed the edge of the puddle. A wagon would barely scrape through. The deepness of the road, the denseness of the trees, both muffled the hoot of an owl winging by. The horse's hooves clicked over exposed rocks. The bridles jingled like silver chimes. An animal leaped down to the descending road. Wolf. No, weir. For the eldritch green transformation gleamed in its eyes. The weir bared its fangs and snarled. Ruffled pale blonde fur increased its size. Skull halted. Then he laughed. "Is that all, little weir?" A flash to the left. Then a dark shape leaped upon the knight riding beside Skull. It growled as it struck, knocking the knight out of the saddle and to the muddy ground. The weir followed the knight down, landing between the horses. Then it lashed onto the rider's neck and choked off his shout. The close confines of the narrowed road crowded the horses together. Man and weir grappled beneath the horses. Skull whipped out his sword when the weir struck, but he couldn't strike down to help, not without seriously wounding his man. He used the flattened blade to drive the man's horse forward. It leaped ahead, straight for the snarling weir athwart the road. The weir jumped away, then raced after the running horse. With the horse fled, the lord struck. Skull's blade flashed downward. The weir yelped, but didn't open his jaws. The man lay limp beneath him. Skull struck again. The weir flattened onto the man. He whimpered. Skull struck a third time, and the whimpering stopped. Sangreor and Grimm had drawn their swords. Oriel quickly scanned the banks on either side, watching for another ambush. Sword black with blood, the Kirji lord looked around. Sangreor scanned around them, alert for ambush. Grimm and the riders behind him were equally alert. Their party was stuffed into the cleft, unable to move forward unless Skull did, able to retreat only one at a time after they turned their horses. "I can follow the escaped weir," Sangreor offered. "What would you, my lord?" "Do not follow. Ride ahead and guard. You, Rogieri, stand with him. We will hold this space." He rode a few paces forward, opening a way past his downed rider and the dead weir that had killed him. Oriel had to follow Sangreor past the rider and weir, so Grimm could also pass. Skull leaned out and caught her reins as she edged by. With Sangreal and Grim going on, he pulled her horse around to fetch up against him, so close their legs butted against each other. He tossed her his reins, then dismounted. Two of his knights had ridden forward and also dismounted. The others remained mounted, alert, swords drawn. The last two riders had faced about, guarding the rear. The Kyrgyz prodded the weir with a blood-black point of his sword. Then he wedged the blade underneath the inert, furred body and flipped it off his man and to the side of the road, against the wall of earth. He knelt beside his rider. Blood covered the man's face and clenched hands, locked into a futile defense by death. The weir had torn out his throat. Skull closed the man's staring eyes. He didn't wipe the blood from his fingers. Resting his hand on the rider's chest, he bowed his head and murmured. Aurel couldn't hear, but she sensed the energy drawn by the Kyrgyz lord. It rushed past her, a drawing on all the elements, crackling with fire, weighty with earth, dampening her chilled cheeks with more than tears, ruffling her hair and skirts and her horse's mane as the air swirled. Even dark chaos whirled around Lord Skull, stiffening, coalescing, until it obscured him and the dead knight. Then the elements faded. The fire winked out. The earth trembled, then quieted. The water dried. Air drifted away, and chaos vanished. All the elements dissipating as if never evoked for use. Skull alone remained on the road, still kneeling with bowed head beside his rider, covered with a black cloak. The weir lay lifeless at the base of the ascending earth. He straightened. Face blank of expression, he looked past her to his riders, then to Sangreal and Grim. With an equal lack of expression, he scanned the elevated ground. Then he flicked his hefty sword, an easy gesture, as if the weapon was weightless. The blood that blackened the blade flicked off. Sword aloft, he met L'Oreal's gaze. "We fight weir, not wizard. Do you still hunt with us?" "Does he think I am appalled at battle?" "I am appalled, but killing the sorceress and her weir must happen." "As I vowed to do, Lord Skull." "The hunt continues." He didn't have to lift his voice. A spell carried the words, sparkling with energy, past her and to his riders, back to Grim and Sangreal, guarding the road ahead. They hunted the hunters. Time to hunt them down. His knights lifted an ululating cry, throat and tongues giving cry. Aurel shivered as the eerie sound lasted and lasted before it faded as echoes. Skull vaulted into the saddle. The mud hadn't clung to his leathers or armor. He lifted a hand. Two riders broke past her. They saluted their lord, then passed Grim and Sangreal, breaking into a trot when they reached clear road. With his still bloody hand, the Kyrgyz lord grabbed energy out of the air. He shaped it into an orb, then flung it ahead. The orb lit the road like a weak, unnatural sun. It raced past Grim and Sangreal, past his riders, and on ahead, guiding the way. "Soskin, stay with me." Aurel spurred her horse to remain close to Skull. For the hunt was on, tracking the weir that had escaped. That's the first chapter of To Curse the Weir. We begin in action that started at the end of book 2 of the trilogy. Not really a cliffhanger, unless you're curious about Lord Skull the Dark Fae. Inspiration for this episode comes from Catherine Ann Porter. A story is like something you wind out of yourself. Like a spider, it is a web you weave, and you love your story like a child. That's all for this episode of The Right to Focus. We finished with the last bit tied to the April Writing Challenge. In the next episode, we start a summer series on the various crafts of writing, and there's multiple ones. We follow the steps to discovering your novel. Thanks for listening to The Right Focus, a podcast for writers at all levels, headed up by M.A. Lee, with the assistance of Remy Black and Edie Rooms, all from Writers, Inc. Books. Our focus is productivity, process, craft, and tools. Show notes for this and other episodes can be found at therightfocus.blogspot.com. write to us at winkbooks@aol.com. Our podcast episodes last as long as it takes to fix a quick dinner, drive a short commute, or take a brisk walk. All this summer, our focus will be the craft of writing. Until next episode, remember, whatever occurs, write on.